This is part three of Servant-Hearted Leadership. When Jesus came on the scene in Nazareth 2,000 years ago, he came preaching that the kingdom of God was at hand, and he chose 12 disciples to instruct all about this kingdom. To these Jewish disciples, news of a new kingdom was very good news indeed. Their ancestors had lost the kingdom to the Babylonians. Then came the Medes and Persians, then the Greeks. It was a period of about 80 years when the Maccabees established an independent state for Israel. But that was ended with the rise of the Roman Empire. So these disciples longed for a kingdom of their own, like in the days of David and Solomon. They thought this Messiah to come would be an earthly king with all the pomp and power of earthly kings, and they fully expected to reign right alongside him as his lieutenants. So they expected greatness, position, and power. But Jesus had a very different vision for his kingdom, so he had to dispel these thoughts. First, when they were arguing about which of them was greatest, Jesus told them he wanted them to be humble like little children. Then he told them to not be like the Pharisees, who loved their important titles and places of honor. And he said, "You are all brothers," putting them and us all on the same level. Then he told them to not be like the leaders of the nations who dominate their subjects, but instead to seek the lowest place and to serve in the most humble manner. Then just before his death and departure to the Father, he gave them an illustration they would never forget and that would bring clarity to the kind of leaders he wanted them to be. They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, this picture is priceless. Picture this. John chapter 13. The disciples of Jesus are reclining for what would be famously referred to as the Last Supper. They're celebrating the Passover together, and all eyes are on Jesus. He rises from his place. Then he does something very unexpected. Now, hold that image in your mind, Jesus rising from his place at the table. Well, just days before, there had been his triumphal entry into Jerusalem when he received the welcome celebration fit for a king. So, if he were like the kings of the world, right then he would rise from the table, put on royal robes, and have everyone bow down to him. Instead, he rises from the table, takes off his outer garment, and lays it aside. He picks up a towel and wraps it around his waist. He pours water into a basin, gets on his knees, and washes his disciples' feet. What a strange thing for a king to do. And foot washing was not some high spiritual ritual, and to make it one is to rob it of its meaning. It was just lowly service. It was just common, everyday, dirty work. Foot washing in our day would be a strange and awkward thing. But then, it was very common and useful. People wore sandals, walked over dirt paths, and got their feet dirty. If they came into the house of someone who had servants, there was a rank even among servants. If you were lowest in rank, guess what? You washed the guest's feet. And that's what Jesus does here. So pause and wonder. This is a moment like no other. A moment where everyone and everything in heaven and earth should stop and stand in awe. The whole angelic host surely trained their eyes to behold the sight. It's a kind of wonder that you have the first time you stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, or the first time you stand at the foot of Niagara Falls. This Lord of worlds so humbled himself as to come to earth to be born a man, and that was beyond wonder. What then is this? From the highest heavens to the lowest form of humble service, kneeling down to wash their feet. What a contrast that one so high would bend so low. But that is our Jesus. And what a risky venture! Does this not put his honor at risk, his authority, his stature in the eyes of his disciples? Well, verse 3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So Jesus was secure in himself. An insecure person cannot lower himself to humbly serve. Otherwise, he will think, I can't do that. People will disrespect me. I have to show them who's boss. Jesus didn't have to show them who's boss. He knew he was boss. And he trusted his Father to exalt him. He didn't need to exalt himself. The world says, whoever humbles himself will be disrespected and treated with contempt. But Jesus says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Peter protested because it was such a strange thing, an unheard of thing for their Lord to wash their feet. But Jesus persisted. He said, you do not understand now what I'm doing, but later on you will understand. He's turning the world upside down, especially the world of faith. It's the final grand installment of his servant-hearted teachings. What could possess the Lord of worlds to do such a thing? It says in verse 1, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The full extent of servant-hearted love drove Jesus from the highest heavens to the lowest form of humble service. To serve in the spotlight with grand majesty is its own reward. That doesn't take love, but it does take love to serve common people in humility. And that's the love Jesus showed and still shows. Truth is, Jesus is still washing his disciples' feet. He washes our feet every time he forgives our sins or intercedes on our behalf to the Father, or comforts us in our sadness. Then Jesus says, John 13:13, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. There's a place for leadership and authority in the church, an essential place, but it must be after the fashion of our humble, servant-hearted Lord. So in light of Jesus' view of all this, for any one of us to want to play the Lord over anybody else is nothing short of madness. People thought greatness was up high. Jesus says greatness is down low. People thought greatness was big and loud and proud. Jesus says greatness is small and quiet and humble. When people are proud and determined to have their way of things, it's a messy, contentious business in a church. But when everyone is looking for the low place, all is peaceful. It's peaceful down at the bottom, in the low place with the humble. Nobody climbing over each other to get to the top. In fact, in the church, the top is at the bottom. The top is at the bottom, because that's where Jesus, the head of the church, has always been. And since he's with the lowly, isn't that where we want to be? Don't we want to be humbly serving right along with him? But what about all the glory the disciples were looking for? Well, there'll be plenty of glory to go around and plenty of crowns to pass out in the world to come. In this world, Let us be evermore like Jesus and serve in humility. And let us always remember that, as J.C. Ryle points out, there's only one place in Scripture where Jesus describes his own heart, and that's in Matthew 11:29, where Jesus says, "I am gentle and humble in heart." Let's never forget that. There are no better hands that we can be in than the hands of the one who is truly gentle and humble in heart. So by faith, let us put ourselves in his hands afresh this morning, his gentle, servant-hearted hands. For he says, "Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls." How lovely shines the morning star, the nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining, thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying, for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.